You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
All right, some of you disc golfers out there are doubling back on your assertions of a 400-yard disc drive throw thing. Someone texted us to say, Bucky, the world record distance for a disc golf throw is 1,109 feet or 338 meters. Most top disc golfers come in around 400 feet from the tee. If someone's claiming to throw a disc 400 yards, they are lying to you. That being said, I would like to try to outdrive you. You with the ball.
Okay, I need five of you, BK. Get five competitors. We'll pick a date. We'll go right behind here.
To Lost Creek.
We'll go to Lost Creek.
Right after the show.
And anybody that beats me, I'll have a bottle of whatever you want for the ones that beat me. For the five of you, there's...
You can fill this little Toy Story bag you brought me up with.
Don't
some,
even do... Don't tell
hashish.
How you... Yeah, yes. I got one,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Phil, you... Why do you say BK, get five of you? What do you mean five of you? Don't associate
people me
with
gonna
these
people are
going
to call
clowns.
In, and you need to get their name.
Get their names.
Just making sure. I thought you were associating me with these
guys. You know what? I wish there were athletes, football players, that were as dedicated as these Frisbee golfers in this city. We get more feedback...
They're passionate
on,
about their hobby.
About...
Nothing wrong with that. You're passionate about your golf game.
I mean, but not like these guys. Golf is a real sport. This thing, we're talking about flipping the Frisbee.
Some would say golf is a game.
Hey, dog, get up real high and grab the Frisbee. I mean, this is not a real game. This is this. You throw this thing into a chain. There's nothing skillful
you
or...
You hit a ball into a hole.
Come on, dude.
It's a highly skilled activity.
My dexterity compared to a...
What?
A Frisbee golfer... Can smoke.
What did you say about your dexterity?
I said my dexterity. I didn't say anything about my dexterity. I said my dexterity. I mean, a Frisbee golfer can have a bong, a dog on a rope, a six-pack in his hand, and go play that. And somebody tells me, and now all of a sudden it's about my energy level. Oh, you can sit on your ass for 4 hours. I work a real job. You guys don't work real jobs. You get up at noon.
I've seen exactly what you described on golf courses in Austin,
Texas. You've
seen
it before,
Texas.
Haven't you?
I've seen guys playing golf with their dog in cutoff blue jeans.
And so these people aren't allowed
That's a golf course.
One of you five, none of you five are allowed to bring your... You can't bring your dog to the country club, okay? Leave the dog on a rope in the car with the window down.
I'm saying, you go out to Jimmy Clay or one of those, you'll see some guys with their dog on a rope.
Some mangy mutt on a rope, right? I mean, really.
Let's get to your headlines. Then we'll talk to Josh. He wants to weigh in on the golf, this golf bet. We'll also reset all your headlines, but let's do that right now on the Ticket City Update Desk. Headlines brought to you by Documation and breaking news we've been discussing all morning. The Massachusetts Department of Corrections has issued a statement confirming that former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez committed suicide overnight. According to the statement from the Department of Corrections, Hernandez was discovered hanging in his cell in the Baranowski Correctional Center at approximately 3:05 a.m. this morning. News comes 5 days after Hernandez was acquitted of murdering two men in Boston in 2012. He is serving, though, a life sentence without parole for the murder of Odin Lloyd in 2013. In baseball, back-to-back Tuesday wins for Texas over Texas State. Longhorns beat the Bobcats last night 2-0. Five Longhorn pitchers combined on a six-hit shutout. Blair Henley started, tossed the first five. Chase Sugart, Connor Mays, Tyler Shimp each tossed one inning of shutout ball. Then sophomore Bo Ridgeway picked up his eighth save of the season for David Pierce. We'll hear more from the coach coming up in the bottom of the hour in Craig Way's report. Longhorns return to UFCU Dishfalk Field, by the way, Friday night for the first of three games with non-conference New Orleans. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros and Astro fans have seen this before. The all-time Astro nemesis, Albert Pujols, did it again. Hits a tie-breaking three-run homer in the fifth inning to lead the Angels to a 5-2 victory over the Astros. Pujols was batting under 200 when he stepped to the plate with two aboard and blasted his 54th all-time home run against the Astros off of Joe Musgrove. That was number 593 of his Hall of Fame career, seven shy of the... 600 number. Win snapped the Angels' six-game skid. Astros had won five straight before that loss. Rangers lost in Oakland last night 4-2. The A's right-hander Andrew Triggs still has not allowed an earned run this season. He improved to 3-0 with six solid innings. Yu Darvish gave up a four-run sixth inning. That was the difference in that game. Round Rock opened an eight-game homestand at Del Diamond with an extra innings win. 5-4, they beat Omaha. It was Doug Bernier, the shortstop, racing home on a wild pitch in the home half of the 11th to win it for the E-Train. Same two again today, 11:35. They're going to play out at Del Diamond. It's the the field trip day. Kids will be in session at Dell Diamond today, 11:35. You'll hear it over on AM 1260. Triple header of NBA playoff action last night, highlighted by another upset. How about the eighth seed, the Chicago Bulls? They have taken control of their first round series with the Boston Celtics, the top seed in the East. They beat them again last night, 111-97. They take a 2-0 lead in the series. Jimmy Butler, 22 points. Rajon Rondo was a rebound shy of a triple-double in that victory. Also last night, Toronto topped Milwaukee. The Clippers held off Utah 99-91. Three more games tonight, including the Rockets and Thunder, playing game two of their first round series down in Houston. Houston's up 1-0. And that's the news.
Our friends over at Documation are proud to have the lowest rescheduled call rate recorded in the industry. They provide top-notch techs with the proper part and absolutely get the job done. So, what are you waiting for? Commitment to the customer winning? That's Documation.
Damn you, Albert Pujols.
Always. Always, always,
somewhere
always.
Brad Lidge watched that and went, I've seen that before.
Ball's still going.
Did that just go over the railroad tracks?
Wow.
I don't know how he kept that ball fair. It was ridiculous. Got his hands inside to try to come up and in on him and... He can still turn on a fastball, even a good one like Musgrove has, and just belted it. Not cool, but that's what Pujols does. You realize like 10% of his home runs.
Been off the Strohs.
Off the Astros, man.
Get him a Strohs jersey.
Unbelievable. Just a nemesis. He's hit 29 regular season home runs at Minute Maid Park alone. Guy's just a beast against Houston, and so many of those home runs have been just like that. They're just those killer home runs that end the game or lose the game, but Astros streak over. Rangers got beat. I don't know who this guy Andrew Triggs is, but he hadn't allowed a run all season for the Oakland A's, and that's what the Rangers ran into. Bulls are in control of the Celtics. Celtics yep. are in trouble, and Aaron Hernandez is no longer.
Offed himself.
Yeah, you know, people talk about how we were callous about
no,
it.
No, of course we feel bad. I mean, his parents didn't do anything to this. His family didn't do anything to this, but... I don't know where you want me to feel sorry for Aaron Hernandez. He's a bad dude. He's a bad guy.
Well, what I said last hour was the run of scumbags who are killing themselves. We had the Facebook live killer kill himself yesterday. I mean, it's look, those are bad guys, and yes,
right.
You feel bad for anyone who loved them, but at the same time, they made horrible decisions and made the call, and that's
I guess I'm callous if I don't feel bad for Aaron Hernandez this morning. It's just a story.
You know, I feel bad for Odin Lloyd, who he killed.
How about his family?
Execution style, who didn't have that choice. I feel bad for the 74-year-old retiree in Cleveland who was just walking along collecting cans that got shot in the head by this scumbag.
I mean, I feel horrible for those people.
Yes. But, yes, that's the conversation.
But those other people have families, too, and I feel bad for Aaron Hernandez's mom and dad.
Well, and the Aaron Hernandez story is a story of... Just a kid gone wrong. I mean, this was a kid who grew up in a middle class, solid family by all accounts, and just made horrible choices. Star high school player who gets his full scholarship to Florida from the state of Connecticut. He's a star. I mean, this guy, it's all there. I mean, think about this for the.
He had already made it.
He was drafted later than he should have been because of the off-field issues that surfaced from his time with Urban Meyer at Florida and as Tim Tebow's favorite target. Well, he gets to New England. Look, New England doesn't sign anybody to big money. 2 years into his career, they ripped up his original contract mm-hmm. and signed him to and gave him a $12.5 million signing bonus. That's how talented Aaron Hernandez was. Bill Belichick, who doesn't pay anybody, ripped up his original deal, gave him a big contract, $44 million, $12.5 guaranteed, and he still couldn't
thug out of him.
Find the right way. Yep.
He wanted to be a gangster. He wanted to have that gangster lifestyle.
He did.
They had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. Those are two Hall of Fame quality tight ends right there.
And they were unstoppable.
And you see what guys like Martellus Bennett, who's kind of been a journeyman player in the NFL, you see how good of a year he has across from Gronk, even when Gronk got hurt just being with Brady.
For sure.
Dude, that offense was absurd, and those dudes were only getting better. That's a shame for Hernandez, no doubt.
Very cool. Not very cool, but they were unstoppable.
Oh, my goodness.
Point. All right, let's talk quickly to Josh. He wants to weigh on the disc golf statistics. Hello, Joshua.
Hey, how you doing, Buggy?
Hey,
Aaron?
What's going on, buddy?
So I've played disc golf in the Austin area for the last 13 years, and nobody out there throws 400 yards. That's just ridiculous. Even those guys that set the records at 1,100 yards, mm-hmm. they're throwing in a wide open field with 20, 25-mile-an-hour tailwinds behind them.
Tailwinds.
Just to set the records.
There you go. There's Josh laying setting the record straight.
And to make it fair, if it's really just feet, then what I do is no drivers. It's an iron, and I'm not an iron hitter, and you know that, E. But I'll take an iron and now hit those guys.
You think so?
Yes. I'll take a 5-iron and just go with it. That's it.
So
now that makes it fair.
Yeah, because your 200-yard drive is 600 feet.
Yes. So I'll go to an iron.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll set up this challenge, the Bucky versus the – because last time we did this, you popped off about the ladies, and the ladies beat you. And I've been told they want another crack at you.
Well, they're looking for the 10-year anniversary play, which you involved, too. Because remember, I went me versus three of them, and one was a professional golfer. Cindy
Fig Courier.
Yes.
Who you on radio questioned how she out being a professional golfer who's taking care of the children.
That didn't go over well.
That didn't make her very happy.
She was pissed. She was pissed the day of the golf tournament. I'm like, why are you mad at me? You're the one out touring the world and your kids or with the nanny.
And we played over at the course on Ed Bluestein.
That's right.
The Harvey Pinnock.
But I think we should go 9 holes with me and you and bring those three back and see where they are now. You know how old they are now?
Let's do it.
You know how old those ladies are now?
I'm in.
Approaching 70.
No, they'll have at us. So we'll do both of those things coming up this summer. I think that's
their
spring before it gets too hot.
If the kids are out there playing disc golf and they're getting out of the house and that now becomes an event for them or an activity for them, I'm with it. But for you bunch to pretend like you're professionals and lawyers and doctors.
Why can't they be? Professionals do a lot of different things. BK, you know any disc golfers? Any of your buddies throw the discs?
Matt Southall is a disc golfer.
Oh, Matt, are you kidding me?
I'm ashamed to call him my buddy after reporting that fact.
He's a pretty avid disc golfer too.
Yeah, I don't.
Seriously, he's got a hacky sack, that thing that they put on, that sack that they carry.
He's got one of those like satchel
disc
type
bag.
Bags. You know?
I think it's called a satchel. Yes,
you
satchel.
Have a European man bag.
Yeah, but I just put my good stuff in.
You have your merch.
You just walked in with Toy Story bags to give to us.
Because you look like Woody in your
but the
blue
Bonafoto.
Really,
he has different types of discs, too, for different...
They're hanging up in his office over there. He's got like 6 of them hanging up
just
in
like
there.
You have different irons for different distances. There are different discs for different...
Yeah, but they ain't hanging up in the office.
By the way, these disc
garage.
Golfers call golf, you know, like this, what we call golf, they call it ball golf. Because they think they have to distinguish, because nobody would know what you're saying if you just say golf.
Oh.
Could be disc golf.
Yeah. Well, the only ones worse than them are the ones on the bicycles out there. Leave them alone.
That's the same crop of people.
It is the same crop, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's wrong with people that exercise and stay in good shape and want to be outside, enjoy the outdoors? I don't know why you elitists over there at the country club think you're any better than them on your golf course, in your golf cart.
Do you see the outfit that I wear?
Your brand new outfits.
I'm properly attired when I go to play. These cut-off shorts, what are they, flip-flops or whatever they wear out there, dog on a rope.
Listen, don't be an elitist. We're the show of the people.
I am. We are the
show.
You're
of the
right.
People.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
I'm just saying.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to.
I like the fight between you and the.
Ask your gaff. I can come there with some cut off jeans, some Daisy Dukes
the country
on.
Country Club,
it.
Lost Creek. No.
With a white beater shirt on and hit the ball.
Here's an interesting comment on the Specs text line, and we'll pick up the disc golf conversation. Craig Way at the bottom of the hour with his morning report. More from the ballpark last night. Your salacious gossip and your blitz. But this says you guys are talking about Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take his arm strength and confidence any day compared to a guy like Osweiler's indecisive approach to playing and the fear of a mistake when passing downfield. That's also the difference in being a leader. That's interesting. Can we hear Pat Mahomes again from Colin Cowherd yesterday about do you ever regret a throw? Because he's been labeled a bit of a gunslinger that will take too many chances, try to throw it into, you know, thread the needle, tight windows. Mahomes said this to Colin Cowherd yesterday.
No, I mean, there's sometimes right after I throw it and I see the situation, I'm like, I probably shouldn't have thrown that ball. But when I throw that ball, I have 100% confidence I'm going to make that. It's going to go through that hole where I want it to go. And I feel like that's a great thing. I feel like I have 100% confidence in my arm. I'll have confidence that I can make every throw on the football field. And you see the great guys like Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, that's how they play.
Is that Cookie Monster?
No, that's Pat Mahomes.
What does Cookie Monster sound like?
That looks good enough to eat.
What you say?
I said, that looks good enough.
Oh, we got Cookie Monster now?
You're right, Chris. It is good enough to eat.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
It's good enough to eat.
Is that Pat Mahomes?
You're such a treat.
Hey, listen, if he's a...
No, I mean, there's sometimes right after I throw it and I see the situation, I'm like, I probably shouldn't have thrown that ball.
Maybe he's got allergies or something. All right, so let me say this. I agree with the texter on that. As someone who watched Brock Osweiler and watches...
Oh, yes.
You know who doesn't throw interceptions? Guys like Alex Smith. Alex Smith won't throw picks, but he also won't take chances down the
field. Oh, no, he won't throw it down.
Right, because that's how they've been trained. Now, you know who does throw interceptions? Brett Favre threw 508 touchdowns and 336 interceptions. Now, I thought Brett was a little bit too wild at times, but he won a Super Bowl. He won MVPs.
Hall of Fame.
Electrifying to watch. He's got every passing record in the books because he would throw the ball downfield and take chances.
Right.
And I'm not saying that this kid is Brett Favre, but he gets a lot of Brett Favre's comps because of his body type.
And even talks about himself.
His arm strength and, he sees himself that way. He actually sees himself more like Aaron Rodgers, somebody that can, you know, flip it and, be accurate. That's what he's going to try to be.
Throw it from all angles.
But I'm looking right here at the top 10 all-time interception throwers in the history of pro football. It includes Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Johnny Unitas.
That's all longevity and the throws.
You made a lot of
throws. Been around for a long time.
But you also take chances, and you will throw some balls you probably shouldn't. That's just going to happen. But those guys also, the one guy that doesn't throw any picks, don't say it, Tom Brady. Tom Brady doesn't throw interceptions. I don't know how that
works. Tom Brady is almost perfect. Of course you're not going to throw a bunch of interceptions.
He's almost perfect.
Come on, man.
That is crazy.
I can't imagine. Vinny Testaverde was around that long to throw that many picks.
Oh, Vinny Testaverde played until he's 40 years old or so, past 40. He threw 267 interceptions.
Now, I understand George Blanda. I mean, he was kicking and quarterbacking. Some of these guys have a lot of throws.
Yeah, the top 10 is by far Blanda, John Hadel from way back. Testaverde, Tarkington, Snead, Unitas, Marino, Peyton, Bobby Lane, 11th in all-time interceptions.
And Drew Brees in the top 20.
Drew Brees in the top 20. Joe Namath in the top 20. But I think Pat Mahomes is going to, if someone develops him properly and doesn't rush him onto the field, when you combine his ability, his competitiveness, that's the one thing that we've learned from him and anybody, he is very competitive. He's an alpha. He's the kid that's going to be the point guard on the football, the basketball
Correct.
Team. He's going to be the shortstop. He's going to be your best player. He's going to lead. And you said it this year at Texas Tech, if you watch him, I know all you Red Raider fans out there saw it, he had no defense whatsoever. He knew he had to win games for his football team. And was he always perfect? No. But dang, did he make some throws.
Well, he knew if he didn't do it, they wouldn't have a chance.
Right.
And he made some of those throws. He made a lot of those throws, as a matter of fact. But
he also made some bad throws. And, he almost
just reminds me of Dak Prescott in a lot of ways, and maybe even a better athlete.
Ooh,
Prescott. And that worked out, didn't it? Well, I don't know if people were saying, oh, come on. I mean, one year you get one, you say one guy. But I think Pat Mahomes is that kind of player. I think he has that kind of confidence. And if I'm the Texans, and if I do have to move up, I know it sounds crazy. If I had to move up to 12 to get him, I would do him. I know you don't. What's wrong?
I mean, look, they need a quarterback.
He's not going to be there at 25.
They're not getting him. This would be another such a Texans move. If they really want Mahomes and they stay at 25, they're not going to get him.
And you think he'll be gone, right?
I think he's going to be gone. I think he's going to be probably the second quarterback drafted, and there's a lot of teams out there that need a quarterback. I think he'll be gone by then.
Yeah. And teams ahead of them that you could see the New Orleans Saints taking them. You could see the Arizona Cardinals taking teams who already have a quarterback who's at the back end, like a Carson Palmer,
right,
like a Drew Brees. The Texans need a quarterback. They keep saying and trying to sell everybody on Tom Savage, and that's
every year they need a quarterback.
Every year they need a quarterback.
Guys, I'm looking at this four man mock draft right here on NFL.com. Two of them have Mahomes going 13 to the Chiefs.
Excuse me, 13
to the Cardinals. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Arizona Cardinals. The Chiefs would make sense, too. In that,
Alex 27. The other two have the Texans skipping on him. Like, one of these four guys has the Texans taking Deshaun Watson. One of them has Mitchell Trubisky. The other two have different offensive linemen. And then two guys have him going to the Chiefs at 27 to be Alex Smith's future replacement.
We shall see. All right, Texans will almost certainly take a quarterback, but you're right. I mean, I say that, yes. If Bill O'Brien decides this is the guy that we're going to groom and we'll let Tom Savage fill the space until he's ready, go get him. Go get him. You still need some offensive linemen. You need some help, but
you have a defense.
You do.
You're going to the playoffs. You've been going to the playoffs with the quarterbacks that you've had.
Right, and if you get a difference maker at that position. Instead of a game manager and even a liability, is what they've won with the last couple of years. What could they be? That becomes the question.
Yeah, that's where they have to make a decision, right?
I mean, well, look, they are selling Tom Savage. He was drafted in the fourth round. He's waited his turn. He's learned the system. He's gotten through some injuries. He's a big kid with a big arm.
The fans of Houston, what do they think when you say Tom Savage? Oh, no.
No. Well, Houston fans are desperate. I mean, they're hoping for anybody that can play quarterback. But, yes, I think it would be a shot of enthusiasm for the franchise to draft a Pat Mahomes or even a Deshaun Watson, somebody who, you know, that they can say, okay, that's the future, and Mahomes would certainly fit that bill.
And I think as we continue and everybody talks about these quarterbacks, there's not a first-round pick. There's not a first-round quarterback. They don't have that ability, a first-round ability. But it doesn't make them bad quarterbacks.
Long-term.
Yeah, long-term, it doesn't make them bad quarterbacks.
It might be a bad idea to rush them onto the field immediately, like the Rams found out last year with Jared Goff. But, you know, you've got to develop, and you've got to bring them. That's what Bill O'Brien is. That's what he's known for, is quarterbacks. Give him a kid like Mahomes, and you know that. I agree with the texter though about the confidence of Mahomes, and you like a kid that's brash like that. We'll take some chances. We'll hit it when we come back. It's B&E on the Horn. Craig Way jumps in with his report for the morning. Salacious Gossip, your Blitz, more on Aaron Hernandez, and the upset brewing in the Eastern Conference of the NBA playoffs. Pretty crazy in that one. We'll talk to Ari as well. He wants to weigh in. It's B&E on the Horn.
B&E.
B&A on the Horn, glad you're with us. Coming up, some interesting thoughts from Kirk Bowles in the Statesman this morning regarding Texas football. We'll go through some of those, see if you agree. Get Buck's comments as well. But first, we've got to get Craig Way involved with the Craig Way Report.
It goes without saying that both the Texas Longhorns and the Texas State Bobcats were in search of a win last night when they faced off head-to-head at UFC Udish Fogg Field. Both teams really in need of a non-conference victory to continue to boost the overall record. It was the Longhorns who garnered the win. 2-0 was the final score. Texas with 2 runs on 7 hits and 1 error, but they were able to shut out the Bobcats. No runs on 6 hits and 1 error for Texas State. For the Longhorns, they got out of 2 bases loaded, no-out jams, both in the second inning and in the seventh, and the Longhorns managed to get single runs pushed across in the third and the sixth. After the ball game, Texas head coach David Pierce pleased with his team's effort.
Ryan had a lot to show for. He's got 3 hits, and I thought Cody swung the bat just as well, just only got one, but both of them came up with big RBIs when we needed it.
The Longhorns returned to non-conference play on Friday evening at UFC Udish Fogg Field. It's their open date on the Big 12 conference schedule, so they'll host New Orleans in a weekend non-conference series. For Texas State, it's back to conference activity, taking on Troy this weekend. Again, the final 2-0 Texas over Texas State. More on the Longhorn victory. More from David Pierce coming your way this afternoon in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Brought to you by Bud Light.
All right, B&E on the Horn. Now, interesting, I was reading this. We were just talking about Pat Mahomes before we talked into the Texas conversation. This says, we were talking about Brett Favre comparison with Pat Mahomes in a comp by a lot of people. Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback in Sports Illustrated writes this morning about a conversation he had with Rodney Allison, who is a coach right now at Texas Tech, who was the man who was the quarterback coach for Brett Favre when he was at Southern Miss. And Peter King talked with him and said about Pat Mahomes. He said, because he had a conversation with New Orleans Saints head coach Drew Brees about Pat Mahomes. And he said, I told Coach Payton, Pat's got everything it takes. He's got some Favre-like qualities. He's similar in styles. They create things on the field that other guys don't. How will he translate to the NFL? I don't know, but he's a similar player to Brett. And Pat studies the game. He loves the game. So that's from someone who coached Brett Favre in high school, in college,
sure,
and has coached Pat Mahomes. So he is making the comparison as well, which is pretty high praise for the young signal caller. And remember, Brett Favre had questions. He was injured. Had that car accident when he was in college, plus he had the party boy mentality, fell into the second round of the Falcons, or late in the first. He didn't go real high, and as far as, you know, top 10 pick, and then was actually traded.
Lots of questions on him when he came out.
And then was traded to Green Bay because he just got a foul with Jerry Glanville and was too much party time and stuff like that. Wasn't taking it as seriously as he needed to. Went to Green Bay, and the rest is history for Brett Favre.
We are hearing from your good buddy, your orthopedic guy, Dr. Christiani, says to say hello and to all the listeners out there in the orthopedic group who listen to this show.
Nice. Texas Orthopedics.
Texas Orthopedics, yeah.
Love them. I haven't needed to go in there for a while, which is good.
Yeah, that's a good thing for you.
Been injury-free for a while.
Yeah, the guys over at Texas Orthopedics said hello. They're listening to the madness.
The madness.
And none of them are
disc golfers?
No.
Let's talk to you.
Because they have real jobs, they're not disc golfers.
Hey, did I say that?
Hey, listen, you know what? A lot of folks out there that are like Dellionaires, and they've got a tech startup, and they got money in their pocket. They go out and play disc golf.
They have these things in their yard.
That's right.
They make land and do put these up there, where there could have been another golf course. They got a disc golf.
Hey, let's talk to Eastside Art, and then we'll talk Texas football. What's up, Art?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Art.
Hey, I got to agree with Bucky. He called it his shot early in the year with the Mahomes crush, man crush. But more importantly, did I hear him correctly say that he had a pair of Daisy Dukes that he was going to wear out on the golf course?
Dude, I said that, didn't I? I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that, Art. I didn't mean to say Daisy Dukes. I meant to say cut-off jeans. That Daisy Dukes,
we've already retweeted a picture of you, and not you, but somebody in there, Daisy Dukes.
Oh.
Through our B&E page on Twitter, Bucky and E account. Go find that.
I don't think that was Bucky. Necessary to throw out there either.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Nice underbutt. All right, so here is Kirk Bowles today in the Statesman with an interesting he's got his nine thoughts. And then part of it, I want to see if you agree with this. He says, if the college football season began today, I'd say Texas would have as many as 8 preseason all Big 12 picks. He lists among the 8, wide receiver Colin Johnson. Thumbs up or thumbs down? We good on that?
I'm good on
all
that.
All Big 12?
Oh, yeah.
Offensive tackle Connor Williams.
Yeah, All-American.
Running back Chris Warren.
I'm not good on that.
Punter Michael Dixon. That's one to remember. He was an unbelievable punter as a sophomore.
He's one of the top guys. He's a...
Defensive lineman Malcolm Roach and Puna Ford. Safety P.J. Locke.
I'm not on the Puna Ford wagon yet.
Well, he is. And, the overachieving. Remember, Puna's an undersized player who plays with a big heart and a big motor. And that's why Tom Herman always says, if I had 5 or 6 of these guys, we'd be good.
I know, but what's that mean?
Well, it means he's the hardest working guy, and he's going to give you everything he's got on every play. But he's only 5'11", and he's not the biggest guy.
Yeah, but in all honesty, in the world of football, but I'm just trying to be honest about football and the game of football. What does it mean? He's going into his senior year. If Puna Ford turns that thing around and he becomes second team All Big 12, that would be great. That would be unbelievable for this football team. But I'm not buying that he's going to be one of those guys that makes anything.
Sophomore Malcolm Roach is the guy to watch. I mean, he's the one that flashed last year.
He did.
Is just a natural football player, son of a football coach, grew up in a coaching family, obviously, and just has great instincts on the field. But he also has a natural pass rush ability to just wreak havoc. So like him a lot. So if you've got 8 preseason all-conference performers, that's a pretty good place to start if that's actually true, especially with a left tackle. And if Shane Buechele, he also asserts in his thoughts that he'd rank Shane Buechele as the league's 3rd best quarterback to start the season behind Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph, the 2 Oklahoma quarterbacks.
Mason Rudolph's looking for a Heisman Trophy. Well, both of these guys are.
Yeah, Mayfield's already been up for it, and Mason Rudolph's a guy that, people don't talk about enough, but he looks like a guy. You know, we talk about the NFL draft class of next year.
Oh, yeah.
Mason Rudolph will be a part of that if he has a great senior year, and he's a big, strong. We talk about big 6'4", looks the part of an NFL pocket quarterback. So 3rd best in the Big 12, according to Kirk. Interesting conversation there. So, yeah, Colin, that's the thing. If you're starting for Tom Herman with 7 or 8, 9 guys that could be all conference players, that's a good place to start. Can you get the buy-in? The one thing I'll be really interested in, and I know we've talked about this a little bit because you never know who they're going to be, but there will be attrition. There will be guys that are currently on this roster that won't be here in the fall.
After this spring.
Yes. They've seen him in the spring.
I agree.
They've seen him in the workouts, and it'll be a two-way street. Some of them don't want to buy into what Tom Herman's selling, and Tom Herman's going to tell some of them, hey, not going to work. And that's just that's the natural attrition. Remember, when Charlie Strong's first season, we had, 11 or 12 guys?
Yes.
That found their way off the roster in the summertime of that first year. So, and that's the thing. That would be one of my bigger concerns, because there's not a lot of depth on this squad anyway. The front 22 are pretty good. If you can find a tight end and one of these running backs can stay healthy and you find a right tackle, starting 22 to me looks pretty solid. But beyond that, that's where they have real issues, and that's going to be the biggest challenge for Coach Herman and his coaching staff is to develop that depth so that they can play too deep and give guys not have just a dramatic fall in key places when they go to the reserves. They need to develop a defensive line rotation. They need more from their linebackers. Because when you look at it on paper, that starting 22, Buck, that starting line, whatever you think of Puna Ford, he's going to work his tail off and sure. Make himself a problem. You got Chris Nelson, who's flashed as a really good player.
He did flash.
And Malcolm Roach up front. That's a pretty good starting 3. in a 3-4 defense. Your linebackers include Malik, Jeffrey McCulloch, who's flashing, Nashawn Hughes, Brecken Hager. You feel good that you've got a good core of linebackers in those four. And then your secondary with Chris Boyd and Holton Hill, P.J. Locke emerging, DeAndre Davis. I mean, you feel those guys can play.
No matter what.
These
are still the best. Yeah, right. Coach them up because these are still the best players Tom Herman has ever had as a head coach.
Well, what comes in behind them is what's scary for Texas. But what I'm concerned for is how many of these guys find their way out this summer. Once the semester's over, school's out, whether it's academic issues.
Or they just didn't like what they saw in the spring.
And both ways.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be a fit. Be really interesting to see how much attrition there is within this program during the summertime, because there always is. And what Tom Herman and the coaching staff attack in the offseason, the graduate transfer opportunities.
I think I still have the same feeling, and please don't get it wrong that I don't like Puna Ford. I just think there is a certain reality to it if you're 5'10" and whatever, and you're just going to get worn out. That's why we talk about the depth of this team. Yeah, he can give you a season if he has, if he has a solid backup can take him out. He can't play. He's not an every down guy. He's just not. He's not built for that. And I don't know about Chris Nelson. We'll have to see. For me, once the game starts, then you'll find out where these guys stand. The coaches can love their motors, but some of these motors just don't last. I have the same feeling about Chris Warren. I don't know where he stands as a running back. I thought the other guy last year was a better player anyway, which it proved to be. But I hope he's not an injury guy.
Well, that's been Tom Herman. One of my favorite quotes from Tom Herman so far is, we don't have gamers in this program. If you don't practice, you don't play. That's just period. You got to go all out all the time. And gamers would indicate, if you just show up on game day.
You're not going to play on game day.
But I think this program has had gamers in the past several years. Guys that, they flash. And one of the reasons they aren't consistent is they don't do it every day. They don't do it all the time. And that's what the demand has to be. That's the raising of the bar.
But again, they didn't have any depth.
Right. Well, that's the depth, and attrition is going to be a big focus for me this offseason, is where they go and can they build the depth. I like their first 22. I tend to agree with Kirk Bowles that they could have 8, as many as 10 guys that you could pencil in on the first or second or even third team all Big 12 to start the season.
How many years will it take to build this program where they are a solid program with depth at all the positions? It's been so long. We keep waiting. And then the next year we'll say, well, look at all these freshmen that are going to have to play again.
I don't know how many of these current freshmen will play, but this is a team that should be led by its juniors. The juniors on this program should lead the way. Connor Williams should be leading the offensive line. He and Pat Vahe and that crew, Jake McMillan, Malik Jefferson going into his junior year.
Even the quarterbacks has played a season.
Yeah, he's a sophomore, but yeah, second year. But that junior class really should lead this team, in my mind, into this season. We'll talk about it with you. That's Kirk Bowles' opinion. They have as many as 8 all Big 12 performers to start the year, and that Shane Buechele is the third best quarterback in the Big 12. Take your thoughts. We'll also hit your salacious gossip, your blitz on Wednesday. Bring it strong, 447-3776. Also more on Aaron Hernandez committing suicide overnight in his prison cell in Massachusetts. All the details coming. It's B&E on the Horn.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right, it's Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Famous among you and your friends, Del Diamond, today and tonight, tomorrow night. Today it's the day game, 11:35. That might be a little bit early for... No, it's not. A couple of Bud Lights and a hot dog this afternoon for lunch. That's perfect. Get on out there. Whatever you're up to. The concert tonight, Miranda Lambert. I'll be there, bud. Taping for the ACL TV show
Very
tonight.
Good. Good.
I like Miranda Lambert. She's a good Texas girl. Talented. But whatever you're doing, be safe and smart. All right, so guess what? So New England Patriots are going to the White House today to meet with the president. And you know who is not going? Tom Brady.
What's
Tom Brady's
got?
Out.
He's got
to
shoot.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Yeah, Tom Brady and no, there's going to be no man hug. Brady and
the president. No?
Mm-mm. He has issued a statement saying he will not be joining his teammates at the White House. He cited personal family matters. Quite in light of recent developments, I am unable to attend. I'm attending to some personal family matters. You know what that means? I mean, Giselle said no. She said, no, you're not going.
No. She said, no. You're not going?
No.
You're not going. He said, I'm Tom Brady. She said, well, okay.
No.
Bye.
No.
All right. Also, TMZ has weighed in on the Aaron Hernandez suicide and says it's not suicide. Jose Baez, who just was his lawyer and got him a not guilty verdict in that case of the double murder in Boston for Aaron Hernandez last week, has launched an investigation on behalf of Hernandez and his family. And they're not buying the suicide story, according to TMZ. We're told Baez believes this could be a murder by either inmates or the folks who run the prison. Baez says the family is devastated and does not believe he was in the frame of mind to take his own life.
TMZ's in on it.
TMZ's
you know
in
how
on
I feel
it.
About TMZ.
All I need is an Adam Schefter report, and I'm feeling
then
pretty good about
yeah.
that. If I get Schefter and TMZ, that's like double barrel.
That certainly is.
Uh-oh.
You're right.
They're saying inside job. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened in a prison.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
And remember, he was a gangbanger who had rival gang members.
Oh, you don't think
members.
He made some enemies there? He's only made enemies everywhere he's been.
Well, yeah. And then he shoots them.
Bye.
Now, look, if it's murder, that's one thing. Suicide, but he says he will launch the investigation. And he, look, just 5 days ago, he got an acquittal for Aaron Hernandez, so he's been close to him and has seen him as recent as anybody, and he says he's not buying it, doesn't think that's the state of mind he was in at this point. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's your Salacious Gossip. It's time for your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, Hernandez was murdered, man. He was going to reveal where Tom Brady buried the bodies.
No way. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Tom Brady.
Buggy, there's so much violence in the world, man. My heart goes out to the UT rape victims.
Jiminy,
thank you, sir.
Jiminy. Next Blitzer, you're up.
You know, guys, I'm really disappointed with the way the show is going this morning. Where's more talk about disc golf and men's water polo and hockey playoffs? Take that for data.
Data.
Got to slam the table when you do that, too.
Sure, you forgot that. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
This is Dr. Dick Chopp from the Austin Urology Team. This message is for Antonio Brown. Antonio, now that your fifth one is on the way and you've moved on to girlfriend number three, come see us now at the Austin Urology Team before things get too serious.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Is this for
is that
rumor?
Salacious gossip
That's
or
for
is that
rumor?
For
data.
Nice. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Shady Brady. We all know the wifey didn't want you partying with Trump in his special chambers and Russian massage specialist.
My goodness.
By the way, we did have someone say accurately that Tom Brady's
mother's been ill.
Is battling cancer.
Yeah,
so
his mother has been ill. That's
you know,
right.
Let's be sensitive to that as well.
Next Blitzer, you're
or
up.
Or might have been Giselle.
Hey, man, Bill Belichick just released the surprise injury report, and it says Aaron Hernandez out next indefinitely.
Indefinitely. That's for sure. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucket B.
What's happening?
Just remember, the next time you go to work and you've been drinking a little bit, do not breathe into the breath analyzer machine.
Just don't do it. Don't breathe into it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
So, basically, you're trying to lump the disc golf and the bicyclists in the same breath, which I'm going to say I don't like either one of them, but I for sure don't like the bicyclists out on FM 1826 with 1 inch of a curb.
Oh, here they come. Here they come. Next Blitzer.
Hey, it's their road, too. Remember that.
So they are paying taxes now. I'm sorry. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yes, Bucky, this is Janet from Walgreens Pharmacy. Just want to let you know your heart pills, your Viagra, and your butt plugs are ready for pickup.
Wow, thank you, Janet. I appreciate that. Next Blitzer, you're up.
B&E, we love you, man. Who did it? Who did it to Aaron? Tell me.
Well, look, we've got this one now. A Boston newspaper reporter has these tweets this morning saying a guy named Byron Barnett. He says, just spoke to someone who talked to Aaron Hernandez last night. Says he was looking forward to seeing his daughter in the next visit. This person says Aaron Hernandez seemed perfectly normal last night and had new hope after last week's double murder acquittal.
Bye. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Okay, how are you going to make fun of cyclists dressing out their wolf dancer looking like Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buffalo Bucky.
What's going on?
How is it that every year you take this trip to Marfa, there's always a white van being rented from the U-Haul place? Why don't you take that for data?
Come on, man. That's not
take that for data.
Data.
Take that for data.
What I did was I needed help with the couch. Would you help me get this couch into the back of this van, please? Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, when I take a picture of you and Aaron at Ruby's, man, that picture of you, you've been partying. Hey, your eyes don't lie.
Your eyes don't lie. Oh my gosh. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, yeah, I got a message from Aaron Hernandez to all these bicyclists who want to be stupid and jeopardize both of our lives.
Wow.
Just pick the right spot to ride your darn bike.
Oh! Wow. Yeah, two-lane country roads are a challenge, but...
Let's go!
I didn't start that bike thing, all right? I'll just say this now. I didn't start the bike thing.
I got a guy in our neighborhood or around our neighborhood. Now, listen, he's this old dude. I give him credit because he's out there pedaling. But he sits on this like lay-down three-wheeler bike thing with a big flag that sticks up in the air, and he's all over the place. And he just rides right down the middle of the road.
Just like he's a car.
Thinks he's a car.
That's why they have a velodrome. Go down near, out there in Circle C, and just go round and around and around.
And I've been told that that's the guy that snaps photos of people that are, you know.
Oh, more than a yard and a half away?
Like against the HOA and stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like he's the whistleblower.
He's the plant,
he's the man, working for the man.
I know people want to get exercise, but I don't think Fitzhugh Road isn't the spot.
Fitzhugh Road.
You know what I'm saying?
Circle Drive.
Oh, man.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn. Final hour. We'll dive into this Aaron Hernandez story. Now reports that maybe it wasn't suicide, or at least his lawyer saying they're going to launch an investigation. More on that and all the news coming up. B&E on the horn.